Welcome to Festivus number 9 Revisited, Blindfold Easters. And before I let last year's me take us through this game, you're going to hear from me about what we can learn from it in terms of development, which has been our theme for the last few days. But also a few thoughts on me around while there's an awful lot I love about how chess has changed these past couple of years. The way games like today's are presented on YouTube and TikTok these days, that's really not one of them. So you might listen to this game and think, hang on a minute, Jonathan, you're telling me I should be following classical principles of development, but Black plays his third move, knight to d4, which is moving a piece twice. And the fourth move is queen g5, bringing his queen into the game, neither of which you're supposed to do according to your rules, so-called. But then Black goes and blows white off the board in just a couple of more moves. Well, yeah, that's true. But knight d4 is still a bad move. It's just that White's response to it is really bad, really quite incredibly bad. So bad that queen g5 becomes a good move in this specific position. And that's the real value of this game, I think, which is a warning on the dangers of snatching pawns in the opening, even centre pawns, and even if you can do it by making a move that you'd like to do normally anyway, which is bringing a knight to the centre of the board, you still have to be careful. And while I think absolutely the Blackburn-Schilling gambit is something that everyone should know, first of all, it's got a fantastic finish, extremely pretty, and there's the chess culture aspect of it, which is knowing why it's called the Blackburn-Schilling Gambit. And that's because apparently this guy called Blackburn used to win shillings with this game when he would take on amateur players, charge them a shilling a game, and he'd want to get the game over with as soon as possible so he could play more games, get more money, earn another shilling. So he'd wheel out this line and take a lot of money off a lot of keen but not very strong players. But you don't really get this these days. You don't get what is the lesson we can learn from it in terms of development and snatching pawns. What you get is smash white in 7 moves. Crush 1e4 with black in just 7 moves. Stuff like that. What I find completely depressing about this is actually what's going on is the people who present chess in that way are encouraging their listeners or their viewers not to think. They're saying, don't think about chess, don't think about chess moves, just remember this, do this. All you have to do is remember these moves, rote learn them, play them, you'll have won a game. And maybe you will, but what's the point? Are we actually playing chess if we're just copying moves that someone told us to play? Okay, we win a game, but honestly, is that it? Is that what we want to be doing? I'm not so sure it is. At least it's not what I want to be doing. Anyway, over to last year's me to take us through the game. Good morning, Blindfold Easters. I hope we're all doing well. Today we have a classic opening trap, which I first heard of as the Blackburn-Schilling Gambit. But here we have Mollock playing against Kostic in Cologne 1912.
What first saw the light as a cute little game by Kostic is now a classic trap in the opening.
1 e4 e5 2 knight f3 knight c6 3 bishop c4 knight d4 4 knight takes e5 queen g5 knight takes f7 queen takes g2 6, rook f1, queen takes e4, check, seven, bishop e2,
as the old writers used to say, tableau,
and black mates next move. We'll have another game tomorrow, Blindfold Easters. In the meantime, happy chessing.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Hello, Blindfold Easters. It's 2024, Jonathan, back again. Just to say, your bonus question for today is, what should white do instead of taking the pawn on e5? So, 1e4, e5, knight f3, knight c6, bishop c4, knight d4, what should white do here? And it just leaves black in a bad position.